We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming to you live on a Wednesday hump day as the Avs have the day off. Sitting here messing around last night on the internet, as you do when your job is hockey involved, on statistical websites and just looking up random stuff.
It doesn't look like you're on the internet. It looks like you're in the forest.
It's impressive that I get such good internet out here. You'd be surprised.
I tell you, that connection must be killer.
It's crazy. Really is. But a thought crossed my mind.
Did it hurt?
It didn't, but it did feel weird. Because I didn't really think about it when I looked it up. I just kind of thought in my head, you know what? Mikko Rantanen is a surefire lock for being a top three in a redraft of 2015, right? No. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, he's not. And obviously McDavid's at the top, so the one spot is gone. But the conversation gets very interesting after that. You have Mikko Rantanen in that conversation. You have Mitch Marner in that conversation. Then you have... Where do you want to go? Do you want to give Jack Eichel that spot? Do you want to look at some of the other guys that could potentially go in that spot, like a Sebastian Aho? It gets interesting after number one.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would have to have him in the same conversation as like Marner.
Sure.
The center wing debate would be fierce on this.
Yep.
I forget Kaprizov's in that draft too.
He sure is.
And So you're talking about like this is a total like pick your poison kind of like unless you're the Arizona Coyotes, you absolutely cannot go wrong in that redraft because we know that the Coyotes would be like Noah Hanifin, and you're like some things never change.
Boston didn't exactly knock that one out the park either, but
yeah, Boston really dropped that ball. No, I just think in that redraft, it would be a fascinating, like it'll always be a fun thing to talk about because, you know, McDavid is the clear cut number one. You can't make an argument for anybody else. I don't care. The amount of mental gymnastics it would take to try and come to a conclusion of McDavid not at number one is not worth it.
He's number one. That's not even worth it. Yeah.
It's number one. And then after that, like, look, I think for a long time, even for the first, you know, 3 or 4 years of their career, I think Jack Eichel was still the easy, like
number two. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like a big center like that is a really tantalizing prospect. And, you know, Sebastian Aho, as a two-way center.
Yep.
But I think Aho has maybe failed to take that last.
I agree.
Little extra step.
I'd have Mikko ahead of Aho if you ask him.
Well, and I think I would have all of Marner, Kaprizov, and Rantanen.
Yeah.
Ahead of Aho. If you're talking about, we just want the best player, but if it's we're starting a franchise from scratch.
Yeah.
Because we have seen the perilousness of trying to build your best player as a wing and trying to build around that guy is very, very difficult.
I mean, who has successfully done that? Chicago and
Chicago.
The Capitals finally got there after over a decade.
And you look at Washington, and down the middle, they had Nick Backstrom and Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
Nick Backstrom, a borderline Hall of Fame case for me, and Evgeny Kuznetsov.
I don't even think he's that borderline.
Like, Kuznetsov, very, very good.
Yeah.
So you're talking about they successfully found center, to go along with Ovi.
Yeah.
But when you talk about Crosby versus Ovechkin, I think it more than anything highlights the just center versus wing.
Yep.
So it's like if we were redrafting from where those franchises were in 2015, I think it would be fast. Edmonton still takes McDavid, but Buffalo at two. Like if you're Buffalo, do you just take Eichel again? Do you take Aho?
Yeah, it's really tough. Buffalo would be in a really tough spot.
Yeah. Well, and Arizona's in the same spot because do you want Marner? Do you want Kaprizov? Because you're going to get one of those two guys would absolutely be available.
Yep.
But, I mean, Eichel has shown himself to be a good player, like really a great one. But is he in that same level? Yeah. See, Matt Barzal for me isn't on that same level.
Yeah. Great player, but
where do you put a guy like Thomas Chabot, who's done absolutely everything for Ottawa?
Dud of a defenseman back there on a terrible hockey team.
Like, you know, I think a lower tier, not in contention for the second pick, but
I agree.
You know, a Zach Werenski too.
Right. You're still going to have that run of D that are very, very good, just not quite that level.
Yeah. And I mean, I haven't even said his name. The guy had 40 goals last year. I mean, you have freaking Kyle Connor just sitting around here too.
Yep.
You know, now you might have a problem with how Kyle Connor is very, his very opt-in, opt-out on any given day playing defense. But offensively, the guy is...
Well, electric. So was Mikko for a while there. So,
well, and I think this is the conversation that really kind of brings everything back around on Rantanen is, Rudo, for me, I want to ask you, has this stretch of games changed your opinion of Rantanen any? Just with him having to be like solo superstar, because for much of Rantanen's career, he's had a high-end center to play with. Anytime McKinnon has been hurt the last few years, Nazem Kadri's been there.
Yeah.
He's now had to spend like a month with JT Compher as his center and
has
kind of just keeps rolling and rolling. Yeah. He is backpacking the Avalanche to like a wild card spot right now.
I don't think changed is the right word. Validated, I would say, is probably more accurate.
Okay.
In a sense of, I think you and I certainly always knew that Mikko was this good. It was just trying to get that out of him consistently. And without McKinnon around, without this other high-end talent around, Mikko has played some of the best hockey I think he's ever played in the last 3 weeks. Not that he isn't really good, hasn't been really good in the past, but you've seen... I don't ever want to hear anybody say Mikko Rantanen is a product of Nathan McKinnon ever again. I'll put it that way.
Totally. Like, it was always like an annoying storyline, but without them being able to be separated from each other, it was always like McKinnon was always the guy that was going to get that credit. Although for me, I always looked at it and was like, okay, well, there were multiple years of Nathan McKinnon in the league before Mikko. And what did he look like?
Where he was meh.
And then after Mikko got to the league, what has McKinnon looked like? So who's a product of whom here? Now, they're both obviously special players, and I don't think they make either one, like, each other.
I'm sure they make each other better, but...
Well, that's the thing, is I think they're both high-caliber players. I see, like, some of this abs... It's even in chat that he doesn't get enough love. Like, Rantanen is, like, universally thought of as like a top, I don't know, like three or four wing in the NHL, like a top three or four right wing in the NHL. I don't know what more love you really want. He's not the slam dunk number one.
I want to continue this conversation, one, because we're going to pair those wings, but two, I want to continue the conversation of wing versus center and where Mikko actually falls. Is he top 20?
Well, first of all, I just, as a quick side, Mitch Marner has taken two faceoffs this year and lost both of them. So trying to give Mitch Marner props for being good at faceoffs isn't going to fly here. He's also 47% in his career, and he hasn't even taken 200 of them. So the rest of everything said about Mitch Marner in chat is true. He's excellent. But out of curiosity, I looked him up. So anyway, whatever. sometimes chat gives me reasons to go into a rabbit hole where I look something up out of curiosity.
Love it.
And I was like, oh, is he good at faceoffs? Because you know, like Landeskog, we know Landeskog plays wing, but is like 50+% on faceoffs in his career because he takes a ton of them.
Yep.
But Mitch Marner is 0-2 this year. So
Mikko also does take a decent amount of face-offs.
Doesn't do great on him, though.
And is not... I mean, he's not Alex Newhook level bad, but...
Yeah.
It's a pretty low bar, to say the least.
Yeah.
So, is what it is there. It's...
Yeah, so you wanted to talk where does he rank among the elites, or do you want to still stick with center versus wing?
Let's talk about just the wings first. Let's talk about Mikko versus his direct competition on the wing. When you look at production, there are four wings that have more raw points than Mikko right now this year, that being Kaprizov, Pasternak, Kucherov, and Jason Robertson, who's really kind of a center.
Oh, he's a left wing.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Either way. Those are
he's on the right side of the ice. I mean, Pavelski's in the middle of that, and Rupe Hintz is the other wing there. So I don't know. This is kind of the hard part with wings, is that they can flip-flop.
I'm not particularly worried about left and right. I'm just calling them all wings, to be honest with you.
Like, there are some guys that will straight up just play one. Yeah. Like, Ovechkin has been on the left wing forever.
He also, like, got 2 years into his career and then just switched sides because he wanted to. So.
Yeah. So, anyway. I guess we don't have to get like super into the weeds on right versus left, but
it's just not worth it to me when you had their wings. They're all wings. Who's the best? Or rather, where does Mikko fall? I know you were talking about before the show, 5-on-5 production, things like that.
Yeah, I had there were people who were not, there were people like who did not love my Mikko Rantanen. If the season ended today, Mikko Rantanen would not be substantially involved in the Hart Trophy voting take.
This is the whole other conversation, which I'm happy to go into because you're definitely correct on how it's voted. I think it becomes a more interesting conversation if you're actually talking about the most valuable player to a hockey team.
Well, and that's where it's like for me, even if you have that conversation about like value, how do you make a single argument for Mikko Rantanen as more valuable to the Avalanche, even during this stretch of games, than Kirill Kaprizov is to the Wild?
And I'm not saying he wins that, sure, but he's in the conversation.
Kaprizov is single-handedly on a lesser team.
Anything, yeah.
And they're almost in the same place standings wise, with Minnesota a touch ahead. So even if you just ignore that Connor McDavid is 20 points ahead of him in scoring, and you're just like, okay, how valuable can he really be? Leon Draisaitl is there, and they're barely in a playoff position, and all that. Like, okay, but McDavid is still going to be there. I don't see where you have a single argument for Mikko Rantanen ahead of Kaprizov. So that for me, that's where I'm just like, okay, now we're talking about him. It starts with third place, and then you look at.
I think that conversation's closer than you make it. I think Kaprizov probably still wins it, but I don't think he's running away from Mikko there.
I don't think he's dominating him, but I just think that when you break them down side by side, there's another star player in Colorado that is
sure.
going to.
And of course, Kale is a wrench in that debate for sure if when it comes to value. But
because in Minnesota, who's the other star?
Yeah, I there's no one certainly of that pedigree, but when you're talking about offensive production, you're getting a good year out of Matt Zuccarello.
Yeah. And Zuccarello's career has taken an uptick in Minnesota.
With Kaprizov.
When he got there and got put next to Kirill Kaprizov.
Yep. So.
So, anyway, like, it's not, for me, it's not like I'm not trying to, like, tear down Mikko Rantanen or anything. I don't know how many times I've had to say he's been exceptional.
And again, it's a moot point because the way the award is actually voted on is who's the best player in the league, and Miko's not close to top three in that category right now.
Well, and like you always like look at the scoring list, right? And you're like, okay, so like Erik Karlsson would probably, because of the way that they vote for the Norris.
Yep.
Erik Karlsson would probably lose some hard stuff there. Even
if McDavid and Draisaitl cannibalizing each other a little bit.
McDavid is just so far ahead of everybody else. I mean, he's 10 points ahead of Draisaitl.
Dude's on pace for like a 70 goal season. Like,
yeah, and he's 16 points ahead of Jason Robertson. And again, Jason Robertson is a guy that I think you would probably vote for the Hart ahead of Mikko.
For sure, yeah.
And then you have like the really like Kaprizov is basically the same number of points. And then you get the Tage Thompson, Elias Pettersson, like these guys are having exceptional years on not very good teams. How do you value those? I think everybody's going to do it a little bit differently, but I think there will be enough people who are looking at what Tage Thompson is doing and being like, well, I'm, you know, even with Buffalo being bad, I'm still giving that guy a third place vote over Mikko Rantanen in the fourth place in the Central Division Avalanche. If the Avalanche were leading the division, I think it would be a different story. Yeah. The fact that they're just like in the pack, they're like just in this big cluster of teams and haven't separated. It's hard to say again where like where Mikko separates.
Let me ask you this then. If Mikko continues producing the way he has, the Avs get guys back, and once they're healthy and have their star players, if that ever happens, and they ascend to the top of the Western Conference or Central Division or whatever, can Mikko get himself into that conversation a little bit better? And, like, I get it. He's not going to catch McDavid. That's not the conversation I'm having. But could we be talking about Mikko as a top 10, top 5 caliber guy?
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough, man. Like, a lot of really good players in the league.
I know. I'm genuinely asking because right now, he's certainly not in the top 10. I'm not even sure he's in the top 20 if we expand this to centers and certainly defensemen. So, I don't know. We'll get into
it. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But before that, we are brought to you by...
It's tough.
I mean... How many things are better in life than beer and burritos, honestly? Because you can go right now, get yourself a Breck Brew at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you. Or you can always go down to the DNVR bar where you have 8 different kinds of their beer on tap. Breck Brew, been great to us. They've supported us for a very, very long time. We love them over there. But you can add to your Breck Brew experience by going out and getting an Illegal Pete's burrito to eat with it. So when you jump on that, you can get Illegal Pete's happy hour over there. It's from 3 to 6 p.m. If you want to get margaritas instead of beer or something like that. You can also still get in on their holiday deal where you get a $100 gift card and they add $25 on for free. So you can get tons of delicious Illegal Pete's. Check them both out. Breckbrew.com for the Breck Brew. Just go to Illegal Pete's to get your burritos. Deliciousness. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here. How many wings are better than Mikko Rantanen?
Can we just really quick touch on news of the day?
Yeah.
As the pod started, the Bednar presser was taking place,
yep.
And we had to choose between things to do today, so we didn't have anybody there. But for the record, people are getting into the Val has no timeline for return. I would like to say there were 2 reporters in that room who tweeted out 2 different things about Val Nichushkin, okay? Because one tweeted out he was day-to-day, and the other tweeted out there's no timeline for his return. One of those is significantly more ominous than the other, so I absolutely would just like to listen to the presser and hear what verbiage Bednar actually used. But I don't think it's a big surprise that the news is that Nichushkin has re-injured the surgically repaired ankle because we were talking
it looked good. Yeah.
It just didn't look good. It looked like it was when he's like throwing one-timers that are just muffins on the net, and you're like, he's not getting any drive. There's no leverage here. He's able to stand up, but he's not able to be Val.
Yeah.
So I think it's we'll just see. I don't know how good or bad that is, just based on the timeline of things. But it really just drives home the Avs just have not gotten any injury luck this year.
Yep.
Obviously, they've had a lot of injuries, but like this is the Val hurt the ankle in the Stanley Cup final. And then I think had surgery on it and then had surgery at the start of the year.
Yep.
And you talk about Darren Helm had the same thing. Like Darren Helm had offseason surgery and then the season
redone.
Yeah, basically had to redo the thing, and you're like, "What is going on here? They're getting surgery, and it's not that Landeskog had another surgery." Like, yep. Talking about multiple guys needing multiple surgeries now after the playoff run, where we knew there was going to be some of this that happened
February of the next year. Yeah,
yeah, but like, yeah, I broke his foot in the final. Thank you. And his ankle was what he hurt earlier this year. And it's just like, the, I don't know. But without actually having a, like, again, because he's day-to-day for now, we don't really know what his timeline, and there is no timeline, and he's day-to-day. Those are two things where, who knows? Like, yeah. There are going to be people who immediately are just like, I just have this gut feeling that he's done for the year. And it's like, okay, and
he
10 days later he's on the ice or something.
Just as true that he could be skating tomorrow. Like, you just have no idea right now.
Right. I don't think that he's not in the lineup for right now, and boy do they miss him, because you just see the difference that he makes.
Yep.
The way that the Avs play their team defense when they have both Lekkonen and Nichushkin on different lines and in a game, their top six just chews up the other top six.
Skates people into the dirt with their forecheck and just their solid defensive play. Like, it's ridiculous.
Those two guys elevate Colorado's floor so much, it blows my mind.
Yep. Anyway, one less winger for Mikko to compete with. For this season.
Val fucking wishes, to be honest. Yeah, I know. Like, well, I know. No offense, but Val fucking wishes. But, I would say, like, it's really hard, because you do start at the top of this. You do say, okay, you've got Jason Robertson, you've got Nikita Kucherov, you've got David Pastrnak, you've got Kirill Kaprizov, Mikko Rantanen, and Mitch Marner, Artemi Panarin.
So this is
Makachuk. Like,
I think you can pretty comfortably say Jason Robertson and Nikita Kucherov have had a better year than Mikko Rantanen so far. I think it gets more interesting after that, when you start comparing Mikko to Pasta, to Kaprizov. I wish in that conversation.
I wish Kaprizov actually had
some talent, yeah.
Some guys around him that were closer to his level.
For sure.
You know, obviously, we're talking about the reason we're talking so much about Mikko is because he has not had Nathan MacKinnon for the last month, but he had him for the 2 months before that. So it's, you know.
Yeah, there's always context there, and it matters.
Yeah, if Kirill Kaprizov got 2 months to play with Nathan MacKinnon, what would his numbers look like? I have no idea. I don't think that they could be too much better, but they might. He might have like an extra 8 points or something. You know,
well,
you might have an extra 25 points. I have no idea.
And this is where this conversation becomes interesting. You were looking it up before, AJ. Mikko has 20 even strength goals this year. Yes, some of those come at 6-on-5, and I guess 4-on-4, 3-on-3, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
significantly more goals at that strength than guys like Kaprizov and Pastrnak, though.
Yeah, but less than Jason Robertson.
Yeah, again, I think if you're talking about who's the better player so far this season, it's Jason Robertson, and it's not that close.
Yeah, I mean, I think Robertson's pretty significantly outplayed Mikko.
So I'm willing to accept that. But when you're comparing him to Pasta, to
Kucherov,
probably just outplayed him as well.
Can we focus strictly on this Pastrnak thing? Because I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah, who's better, Pasta or Mikko? Go for it.
I got Mikko, and I'll tell you why. When I watch, and this is, I haven't done like an analytics deep dive to actually compare them. But watching both of them play, I would prefer Mikko, because there's a power to his game when he wants it to be. Mm-hmm. But also, there's the way that the way that they get their offense is really different, because especially with Miko in the situation he's in right now, he's driving so much of their offense. Yeah. He's driving the play. He's at the heart of everything. When you watch Pasternak, he doesn't drive it so much as they funnel their offense.
He's an off-puck player that finishes, right?
And he's just an unbelievable goal scorer.
Yep.
Like, he is... I say this, and Pasternak and Rantanen have the same number of goals, but Miko shoots at a much higher percentage
or something. Yeah,
yeah, because Pasternak has 50 shots on goal more, because Boston funnels all of their offense when he's on the ice. The whole strategy, we saw it in both Boston games when they played the Avs.
Yep.
The whole strategy was get the puck to that guy.
Yep.
And the strategy when Miko is on the ice, even when McKinnon's out there, it's not get the puck to him. When you look at how those teams, have their power plays, Boston's is we're setting plays for Pasternak. We are driving because we want this guy. We have decided to go through this guy. And how many times do you have Mikko Rantanen standing on the goal line trying to go for this fucking golf chip over a goalie's shoulder, just dicking around?
I was going to say, not even part of it. Strategy with Mikko is kind of let Mikko do whatever the hell he wants for the most part.
What day is it? Like, Mikko like pulls a play style out of a hat when they're fully healthy, and he's like, I'm this guy today. But without McKinnon, he's had to be pure power forward every night. He's had to drive. I mean, we literally saw him last night go 1-on-5. It didn't work.
But he tried it.
They poked it away from him, but the Avs ended up deep in the offensive zone because when five guys collapsed on one, they poked the puck away, and an Av picked it up, and it got cycled deep into the zone still. So it was like, in essence, it still worked out just fine for Colorado. And with Miko, it's all about the way he's driving play, the way he's initiating the offense, and it all starts with him. And with Pasternak in Boston, it's all finishing with him. And when we know that when the Avs are healthy, when McKinnon is healthy, when Landeskog is healthy, Miko can do that role, but he really likes being a high end playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's funny because Pasternak actually, he has more assists right now, but I would also say has not had any problems with the guys around him this year. He does not have JT Compher as his center.
Has had talent around him. Also sitting on 22 power play points and 10 power play goals. Tamiko's had plenty of power play production, 17 points, but only four goals there.
Yeah, the power play goals, and this is kind of what I mean. That's like a big separator, is you look at the way that they run their power plays, and 10-4 in power play goals for Pasternak. Boston is funneling everything through him, and Colorado's not with Miko. Even now, even with the way that it is now, they're not setting him up. It's not Miko bombing away one-timers all night. Like, he occasionally fires one off, but that's just not their strategy. Genuinely, I'm not sure why. Like, I understand that they've still got Cale Makar and Evan Rodriguez is on the other side. And, hey, Evan Rodriguez is a whale of a one-timer. But Mikko Rantanen is a guy that has shot like 18% his entire career and is a 30-40 goal lock every single season, health permitting.
I don't know if this is overstepping a little bit, but Mikko Rantanen at his best, when he has that power to his game, reminds me of a young Alex Ovechkin.
He reminds me of Jaromir Jagr, dude. That's why we called him Baby Jagr when it started.
I get where you're coming from there, but it's what pushes me more towards Ovi is Miko's one-time ability. And I get that he plays the other side and is the other-handedness, but
yeah,
he still has that laser beam of a one-timer that is such a... Because he does so many other things and produces with assists and so many other different ways, I can see where you'd move away from that. But I think people forget, especially when you see Miko doing things like running people over like he did the other night. That's how Ovi used to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's still how Ovi occasionally plays. I mean,
not near as much these days, but...
Gotta protect the goods. There's some business decisions that gotta get made when you're like 38.
And, obviously, Ovi has the greatest one-timer of all time by 80 miles. It's not close, but...
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that in Miko, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, like, pick a power forward, right? Like, and yep. pick, people aren't going to like this, but, you know, back in the day, one of the premier power forwards in the NHL was Todd Bertuzzi. Yep. Because that guy would just truck over people. Now, obviously, that, you know, he broke bad with that kind of mentality, but, I mean, like... Pick a power forward. Pick a guy that plays with a high skill game that just runs people over. And you know, when Rantanen plays like that, he pushes Matt Tkachuk in terms of top power forward in the NHL.
Agreed.
But the big problem is that we know that when MacKinnon is around,
it's gonna go away real fast. Yeah.
He picks his spots. Like, there are games where of all the guys on this list, nobody drifts through a game more than Mikko Rantanen when he's got that star power around him.
I think he kicked Kucherov doing something similar at times, but...
You could sell me on that. I would just agree with you. He does have drifty tendencies.
Yeah.
Those guys kind of have, and dude, you know, he's not quite on the same level, but Kyle Connor also is a guy that will drift through a game.
Disappear at times a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's... And then those dudes have 2 points at the end of the game, though, so you're like, well...
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about, like, in a true, like, power forward, like, realm here. Like, this is still Makachuk's world.
Agree. As far as
I am fine, power Enrique, forward. Thank you. He's upstairs. I don't
Why
know.
Is he yelling at you?
Yeah, I don't know. All caps. I don't know what the deal is.
Okay. On that note, we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. You use code DNVR to go over there and bet on whatever you like right now. Again, probably not wise to bet on Mikko Rantanen to win the Hart. Also, probably not wise for him to bet on him winning the Rocket, but he probably has a better chance at that than the Hart.
He's only 7 goals behind.
Yeah, that feels like McDavid goes on a little bit of a cold streak. Miko decides he wants to start shooting a little bit more. You never know.
Tkachuk is not overrated. Get out of here with that.
I don't agree with that. Tkachuk is dope as hell.
Yeah, I mean, you can dislike all the nonsense in his game, but he is a very, very, very good player.
Whoever you want to bet on, you can go over there and use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. And when you bet $5 on an NHL team to win their next game with that new account and you win, you get $150 in free bets, which you can go bet on whatever you want. So check it out at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're also brought to you by Game Time. If you want to go see the Moose in person over at Ball Arena, you can get your tickets through Game Time. There's a link down in the description of the video. Over 15 million people have used Game Time to get prices up to 60% off face value. So a great deal, which is something you certainly need to afford Avs tickets right now. They are not a cheap watch at the moment, which tends to happen when you're a really good team that has a championship under their belt and things like that. So be sure to check out Game Time. The link down below does help us out a little bit too if you use it. So click on that and get their app today. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So let's expand this conversation. Start including centers. Is Miko a top 10 forward in the NHL right now? I think if you include defensemen, he's certainly not a top 10 player.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't know if I'd have him as a top 10 forward, but where I think Miko separates from all of these guys, because we're talking like he's got that power. So he's, you know, power forward. It's Tkachuk, right? He's got that. He's got that playmaking. When you look at the elite playmaking wings in the league, it's Kucherov, it's Panarin, it's Marner.
The thing is, he does everything, right?
It's Kaprizov. It's those guys. You look at elite goal scoring wings. It's Robertson. It's Pastrnak, and Mikko Rantanen is a combination of all of those guys. Yep. He's the only one on this list that I would say is, if we're going to break the wings specifically into goal scorer primarily, playmaker primarily, and power forward.
Is he top five in all three categories?
Exactly what I'm saying. He's the only guy that you would put in the top five of all of those.
Yeah.
Because he does all of that. And that's what makes him special. That's what makes him different from all those other cats. If you start getting involved in the centers, you start bringing all the centers into this. You bring in McDavid, you bring in Draisaitl, you bring in Crosby, you bring in Pedersen, you bring in Tage Thompson, you bring in Nathan MacKinnon, and I'm gonna have a really hard time putting Mikko ahead of MacKinnon.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like I don't think that the gap is very big between them anymore, and I think that that's where this stretch. The way that he has embraced this kind of, okay, I've got to dominate. I know I've got to be the man. And we've seen that it's drawn that out of him, that more consistent all-around effort where you see him not taking the lazy man's way out of plays and out of situations.
He's dominating dudes, yeah.
He's not. Almost all of the cute shit that has driven me nuts for the last 2 years has been eliminated from his game because he's had to keep it simple, and he has had to be straightforward. We're just going to play like this. I would die to see this version of Mikko show up every night next to Nathan MacKinnon. Because it might push them into unstoppable territory together. They're
scoring like 150 points each a year at that point. There's something ridiculous, yeah.
Well, they both would certainly hit 100.
Well, fair enough.
Start there. Let's have a 100-point season before we start trying to chase some history here. And I think that's also what frustrates me about Rantanen and why I'm apprehensive to be like, oh, he's this guy or that guy. Because as we know, the second that Nathan MacKinnon comes back,
it's going to change. Yeah.
He's going to be like, oh, all right. Back in the sidecar. Okay. I'm not in the main seat anymore. I got this. But it is noteworthy that Mikko has been this good. And I think he's
earned his super license with this stretch of driving.
Yes. Well, more so than fucking Logan Sargent did. Anyway. For the record, I think F2 is better than F1. More fun. Oh,
God.
Not better. Not better.
Yeah.
More fun.
More competitive, maybe.
It was just like any given race, there were like seven dudes where it was like, yeah, I could see that guy winning. And mass chaos.
I get with what you're saying, but I can't agree with your take.
It's not, obviously the guys in F1 are much better drivers. But it's kind of like watching an ECHL game where you're just like, this is like really chaotic. Like, this is a really fun version of hockey. This is kind of nuts and all over the place.
Some Michael Jolie type is just going to roll up and eat some fools for breakfast. And you're like, that was dope.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and then you'll still, like, the ECHL still has, like, the enforcer role.
Yeah.
Still hanging around in it as a prominent feature on rosters. So you get a Michael Jolie type, and then you get a John Scott type. And you're like, it's like a really weird mixture of hockey. The AHL is a lot closer to the NHL these days in terms of taking its development seriously, and it is more chaotic and a little more unstructured, but for my money, the AHL has surpassed the KHL as the second best league in the world.
You could certainly make a good argument for that.
Yeah. So and I just think the ECHL is that perfect mixture of mass chaos and the hockey's also fun.
Yep.
So anyway, where I think Miko ranks, as we were, as I've like ducked this question,
you've dodged it quite a few times at this point. Yes,
I think it would be fair to put him in the top 10 forwards right now in this very moment.
Probably somewhere at the 8, 9, 10, but yeah.
Yeah, I would have both Edmonton guys ahead of him. The thing with, like, McDavid is the easy, like, I would take McDavid over Miko.
One on the planet.
The really hard part with Draisaitl for me is just
the defensive side, man.
Well, and separating them. I know that they haven't played as much together this year, and I actually haven't even looked at their numbers.
But they don't have to play together without. If Draisaitl's getting second lines, right? Like,
yeah, and it's just for me, it's hard to separate the impact that McDavid will have. You know, on it's like a trickle down effect for Draisaitl. And so with Draisaitl, I'm open to the idea of somebody preferring Rantanen over Draisaitl, but you look at Draisaitl's production, you look at the consistency of it, and you look at just he's been an absolutely elite point producer. And it's really, you know how valuable scoring goals is, and having a guy with a 50 goal season under his, like, it's tough.
I think McDavid, Draisaitl, Robertson, probably Thompson, and probably Kucherov.
This year's Tage Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If we're talking recent, I'd say those five are all squarely ahead of Miko, and then it becomes a conversation after that.
Yeah, and it does, like, you and you know, you get into, like, a would you seriously take Miko Rantanen over Austin Matthews?
And long term, probably not.
Even right now, like this on this given day, like knowing I that Matthews is his shooting percentage is a little bit lower than it normally is, but his all around game is as good as it's ever been. Like, I'm not taking Miko Rantanen over Austin Matthews.
And this is like, what's the context, right? Because if you know Nathan McKinnon's coming back, you're like, I don't need Austin Matthews. But
yeah, well, I mean, McKinnon Matthews 1-2.
That'd be stupid.
No offense to Miko, that's just down the middle. You're not talking. You're talking about trying to find a one right wing instead of a 2C. You know, and then even down the line, like, would you take Miko Rantanen over Jack Hughes? Steven Stamkos?
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely take him over Stammer at this point. But
like, long-term, sure. But in the moment, and right now, this season,
I think I'd still take him over Stammer. Jack is too. A different conversation. I think I still pick Miko today, but I could definitely see myself regretting that in a year or two.
I think that's one where it's like, I think it's where the center wing conversation makes it a lot more interesting. Because, like, I'm taking Miko over William Nylander.
Yeah, I don't think that one's that hard of a conversation.
You know, I'm taking Miko over Kyle Connor.
But when it's Jack Hughes down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's where I think it's... I just think that that's a tough conversation. Because also, if they swap spots, let's be real here. Jack Hughes is a picture perfect fit in Colorado,
yeah.
And would have been the perfect pick had Colorado gotten some lotto luck. And I know, like, this is no slight on Bowen Byram, anything like that. But
the easiest 2C slot in of all time forever.
Jack Hughes is 2C playing Avalanche hockey, getting up, blazing up and down the ice. Are you fucking kidding me? The Kadri trade may not happen, and they may not win the championship last year, so no regrets, like no looking back and being like, I wish those things had happened, but holy smokes would Jack Hughes have been nasty in Colorado.
Yeah, it would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, And they wouldn't have had to pick between them. They could have just had both.
So all this to say, Mikko Rantanen in the back half of the top 10 forwards, and then you start throwing defensemen like Cale Makar in there, and you're seeing
this year's version of Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, right. And suddenly he's, you know, maybe not even in the top 15 players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you start to get into the defensemen, and you have this year, Makar, Fox. Josh Morrissey has had an unbelievably good season, as much as it makes me want to roll my eyes. You got to give him his props. He's been incredible, and his underlying numbers are exceptional. And so it's like, I can't even poke holes in that shit right now. Rasmus Dahlin has kind of had that kind of breakout season that we've been sort of waiting for. Pettersson of the Canucks is definitely Elias Pettersson is just one of those guys that he like burned me in fantasy once. So like I've got like a, but I think he's so good, dude.
He's really, really good. I wish he was that much more consistent.
Oh, well, and that's how you feel about every guy in Carolina too.
Yeah.
Aho Svechnikov and Necas. Those are all guys where you're like, if they were all
just a that much more consistent.
Like, day in, day out, consistently the best versions of themselves, Carolina would be like that team. They would be the team that we keep waiting for them to become.
Yep.
And they're a team. They're in that right now the Carolina Hurricanes, I think, are in that Washington Capitals, like, we've been burned by you in the playoffs with this core enough times that I'm not picking you until
it ahead. Now. Yeah.
Like I'm picking against you at some point.
Also, shout out my boy Brandon Montour, having a hell of a year. Not better than Mikko, but my guy popping off in Florida.
Yeah. Also, somebody was asking earlier about Matt Tkachuk and why they're not very good. And talk to their centers, because both Sasha Barkov and Sam Reinhart are not having great seasons.
Sasha's been battling injuries, but
Sasha's had problems staying healthy. You see that cross check he took to the knee off the face off from
nasty.
A couple weeks ago, man, they were lucky that wasn't serious. So anyway, Josh Morrissey, you got to give him mad props. He has been he's been awesome this year. He has 40 points in 35 games. Guy already has a career high in points, and it's not even the new year yet. Like, that's, and again, you go and you look at his underlings and you're like, well, he's been super good. So anyway,
we'll see if he can keep it up. I don't know if that 10% shooting is gonna last, but
no, but I would want to look at some on ice shooting, and like the Jets are already, because they've got so many injury issues right now.
Sure.
You know, it's like, for me, there's some Schadenfreude involved in watching them struggle through their injury issues while
the Avs were trucking along with their own problems.
Yeah. When they smoked the Avs in Winnipeg, they held a parade while the Avs had an AHL, like the Eagles. It was very much the Eagle Lanch, and it was an interesting couple of days of discourse for sure. And then, you know, now it's like, I wanted to see how they were going to keep going, but now they've got real injury problems, and
yeah,
I'm getting really tired of injuries like ruining seasons. It's really
in relief for everyone.
Yeah, like it just sucks, dude, because you're like, dude, I just want to see how these teams stack up. You build these teams. I want to see how they do. Can we stop with the major injuries, please? But that's not the way the world works, of course.
The hockey gods say no. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett sure was like,
oh my
God. He's having like a seance in his garage every night trying to get the injuries to stop for the for the Broncos this year. So but no, that's it's interesting to the way that they've kind of dictated so much of how the season has played out so far. And they do every year, of course.
All right.
Anyway, Mikko is the shit. He's a top 10 forward right now. I don't think he stays there. But all love to Mikko and everything that he has done. He has been the man. Also, who could have predicted that Paul Maurice would make Florida worse?
Only everyone.
Zia's raising her hand enthusiastically. People in Winnipeg know.
Somebody's got to know. Somebody's got to tell the world.
I mean, I was trying. I think in our preview show, I was like, I tried really hard to find reasons to drop them further.
Yep.
And I just didn't have the balls to really go all in on some of the other teams around them.
Okay, so we wrap this one up. We got Sean Barron's to watch in a couple hours here.
Yeah, and it's hard to spend much time on WJCs on the pod just because there's one Avs prospect there.
It's just not very relevant to Colorado right now.
The Avs have one pick in the top five rounds this year, and we don't have a ton of confidence that they're keeping it.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard to
get hyped on these kids. Yeah.
I will say Sean Barron's looks like a younger version of Torrey Krug right now. Avs fans should be guardedly optimistic, and I only say that because the best trade pieces that the Avs have are a first round pick, Oscar Olausson, and Sean Barron's.
Is Barron's the most untouchable of those three? I mean, given their prospect
pool? For me, he should be.
Yeah.
For me.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here on that note. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us on this Wednesday. We, of course, will have full game coverage tomorrow. Pre-game, I don't think the Nuggets play, so there should actually be a watch-along. And then post-game, for sure. So be sure to tune into all of that stuff for you. We appreciate you. We will talk to you tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you on the next one.